From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, few days remain to take advantage of early registration discounts for the 2017 Commodity Classic to be held March 2nd through the 4th in San Antonio, Texas. Commodity Classic is America's largest farmer-led, farmer-focused convention and trade show. Attendees have until this Thursday to take advantage of the early registration discounts. Kevin Ross, a farmer from Iowa, serves as the 2017 Commodity Classic co-chair for the National Corn Growers Association. Now, he says there's something for everyone at Commodity Classic.
The Classic's down in San Antonio, Texas this year. It's at the Henry Gonzalez Convention Center. If you've ever been down to San Antonio, it's a great city, a lot of good things to do. But Classic itself has got just so many things going on. Education is really one of the highlights of Commodity Classic and what we do down there for farmers. And one of the big highlights that we always have, I guess, down at Classic is make sure we have all these What's New sessions. And there's all kinds of great things that people are looking at, new things on the trade show floor. And everybody's got different things on their mind and how to better their operations, and they come away leaving with all kinds of different ideas.
Now, the 2016 Commodity Classic broke records in attendance and the number of trade show exhibits, and Ross expects the event to break records again this year.
This year, I think San Antonio is going to bring in a whole new set of folks from around that area, and, you know, it's a great place to be, so I expect we're going to break all the records that we set last year. Size of the trade show floor is just a tick smaller than it was last year. Just convention center is different size than we had there in New Orleans. But aside from that, attendance record, you know, I fully expect will be bigger than last year, and it's going to be a heck of a good time.
Now, he says Commodity Classic is a don't-miss event in 2017.
Classic is so much fun every year. It doesn't really matter to me where it's at or which city it's in or what the timing is. But I tell you what, it's just a great atmosphere. You know, people get excited to be there. You learn a ton of things. Your networking opportunities are second to none. And, you know, you get time with the heads of companies. You get time with master growers, I guess I'd call them, across the U.S., the guys that are setting all the yield records. So there's so many things to learn from people and also the companies that we do business with as farmers. It's just a great time to be better in your operation. And you can't do it any better or do it any better place than going to Commodity Classic, in my mind.
And all registration and housing reservations should be made online at CommodityClassic.com. Also, a detailed schedule of events is also available on that website. And I'll guarantee you that they don't have anywhere near 50 inches of snow. We're going to take a break here. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Donald Trump. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture on 910 Classic Country, KCJB in Minot. Farm News in Real Country, Thunder 106.1, Lisbon and Fargo. And Ag News 890, also Lisbon and Fargo, North Dakota. While President-elect Trump's picks for EPA Chief Scott Pruitt reassured Midwest Farm State U.S. senators he's going to follow the law on renewable fuels, waters of the U.S., and other issues key for agriculture. Now, Pruitt assured the senators from biofuel-producing states he'll support not just the renewable fuel standard, key for the ethanol industry, but the rule of law that underpins so much of what EPA does that impacts agriculture. Iowa Republican Senator Chuck Grassley called the meeting with Pruitt, the attorney general for oil patch state Oklahoma.
We got a very positive response of his not just support of the RFS, but more importantly, the rule of law. And the rule of law is what Congress passed, that EPA is supposed to follow that law and not to back it down the way they have in this administration.
Now, Grassley and many lawmakers from rural states complain the outgoing EPA sold the RFS volume target short until last year and overreached its rulemaking authority in clean air and clean water actions. The long-fought Waters of the U.S. rule to vastly expand EPA control of water on and off farms is now tied up in the courts, where judges are skeptical it will withstand legal scrutiny. Congressional Republicans failed to override President Obama's veto of a repeal bill. Grassley stressed the importance of following the law.
There's one thing that's very key. I don't want somebody in EPA that's going to continue the illegal and ultra-virus standards that are set up by this administration not following the law. And we've got positive comment that the law is going to be followed. That's very, very important.
Pruitt, as Oklahoma Attorney General, joined other state counterparts to sue the EPA over WOTUS, and if confirmed, ahead the agency would obviously back Trump's pro-ethanol, pro-jobs agenda. Grassley says he'll wait till after Pruitt's confirmation hearings to decide if he'll support the nominee, but so far, Grassley says he hasn't heard anything that would discourage him from voting for Pruitt. Well, Farm Bureau members are meeting in Phoenix, Arizona for the 2017 AFBF Annual Convention and crafting policy suggestions for Congress and the next administration. AFBF Executive Director of Public Policy Dale Moore explains that process.
The states have sent their national level policies in so that this coming Tuesday, our grassroots delegates again will take a look at what they collectively from all over the nation have worked together to put new policy forward, to change existing policy, perhaps take some policy out. But then from that process, that gives us clear direction, opportunity to get back to Washington, go to work.
And with a new Congress in place, he says lawmakers on Capitol Hill are already working on issues that are top priorities for Farm Bureau members, like regulatory reform.
On the House side, they're looking at regulatory reform, putting in some procedures that bring in all of these agencies that somehow seem to take wherever the law is and start moving their peg just out a little farther and a little farther each year. Where it ends up is still a lot of work to be done. But here we are just a couple weeks in, and we've already got legislation moving in the House to at least get us on the path to regulatory reform.
Now, as the new administration takes over in Washington, D.C., he says AFBF will be ready to work with the administration.
We're looking forward to that opportunity to lay in front of them. What are the things that they need to be working on? You start going down those lists and encouraging the new guys to come in, take every opportunity, use every authority they have to shut down regulations that are basically hemming us in. That's what's exciting about this process. We get to work on behalf of farmers and ranchers is meeting the new team, helping them figure out they just follow Farm Bureau's advice, we'll be in good shape.
And that's American Farm Bureau Federation Executive Director of Public Policy, Dale Moore, and their convention actually gets underway tomorrow. And, of course, that'll be in San Francisco. We're going to take a break here. However, when we come back, Trump Ag Advisor wants mergers blocked. And we're talking Dow, DuPont, Bayer, Monsanto, ChemChina, and, well, Syngenta. All of them. They're next. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, you're listening to Inside Agriculture. Well, David Center is a former lobbyist with the American Agriculture Movement who was on hand for the opening of the American Agriculture Movement exhibit in the Bayer Ag Museum at Lubbock, Texas. Former American Agriculture Movement President Corky Johnson accompanied him on that trip. Now, the AAM was born out of the nationwide farm strike over low prices, and it began with farmers in every state converging on their state capitals, and it was done in 1978.
60,000 of us went to Washington, D.C. the last week of January 1978. Cork and I was talking a little earlier close to Oklahoma City, and then August of 1978, there was a big meeting at the fairgrounds in the arena there, Oklahoma City, and that's when AAM voted to organize as an organization and open a D.C. office.
Now, February 7th of 1979, thousands of farmers drove their tractors to Washington, D.C. Center went to work as the first AAM full-time employee the next year. Now, he says there is definite lessons from those events that can apply to agriculture today.
You know, we're in a very divisive atmosphere today on so many different levels. What I would say is that the American agriculture movement brought together family farmers from across the nation, Some were Democrats, some were Republicans, some independents. They brought farmers together from Farm Bureau, Farmers Union, NFLU, every grassroots commodity organization. In other words, everybody found common ground to come together and speak out supporting family farmers and family farm issues. So, you know, I think the lesson today is that there is a way when you find the common ground where different individuals can come together for common purpose.
Now, he says there are similarities to rural America's support of an outsider like Donald Trump in the events of the farmer's strike and, of course, the American, well, we'll call it the American agriculture movement.
AAM wanted change. They wanted change from the direction that the government and the country was going. When Ronald Reagan was elected, there was a big change that occurred across the country. Some was good and some maybe not so good. But I do think that rural America was feeling like they were left out with no voice, nobody paid any attention. And very few of the politicians thought that our rural votes counted. But I think this election proved the point that rural America made the difference.
And he's hopeful that rural America can come out of the current farm crisis, calling it a terrible situation with low commodity prices and high input costs. Senator says rural America needs to stand up and be heard because they need help. Well, Potato Expo's going on in San Francisco. That's going on, well, it did over the weekend. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to check out what was going on at the Potato Expo in San Francisco. From the Meridian Manufacturing Studios, as we wrap up what's going on inside agriculture, although the latest, well, the last several years have been difficult for many commodities, Rabo AgriFinance grain and oilseed analyst Steve Nicholson says that the future looks promising, and he encourages ag producers looking for opportunities to perhaps see new and different ways to get that taken care of.
Farmers have built a lot more storage. Start acting like an elevator. Elevators don't worry about futures, they worry about basis. That's where they make their money. So you need to be doing the same thing. We've talked about farmers, too, are coming together, kind of old school co-op, and they're not a co-op, but if you're farming 5 or 10,000 acres and your neighbor's got another 10 or 15,000, why are you not coming together to buy those inputs? Act together. Bring that volume to bear on the marketplace. Those are just two quick examples.
Speaking at the 2017 Potato Expo in San Francisco, Nicholson also says that although niche marketing is a term that's always used, Nicholson says there's many unique and different opportunities for ag producers if they think differently and consider what products consumers are requesting.
You know, in agriculture, we've grown potatoes or wheat or corn and soybeans and say, this is what we grow, this is what you're going to eat. Well, the consumers kind of pushed back now and said, you know what, I want that this way. And I think we have in agriculture have to be responsive to that because right, wrong, or indifferent, and to get over your disagreements, that consumer is the one who buys our product. And the good news is they want to pay a premium for it. And if you can make money doing it and you can laugh all the way to the bank, then why aren't you doing it? And we've seen, you know, the classics are organic and non-GMOs. We met with the CEO of Beyond Meat this fall, and we had one of his burgers. It wasn't the typical burger that you'd have, but it was made out of pea protein isolates. Not, again, not your typical burger. His problem was he could not get enough pea protein isolates in the United States, and he's shipping them in from Europe. But we have dirt here, and we can produce peas, and probably someone can process. So why aren't we doing that? It's the same thing with corn and soybeans. We're importing organic corn and soybeans. We have dirt here. We can produce those here. And so there's things we have to think about. One thing we're going to talk about is all the different opportunities. And think about farming different than maybe you thought about in a while.
That's Rabo AgriFinance grain and oilseed analyst Steve Nicholson. And finally, inside agriculture, the world's largest pork producer, Smithfield Foods, said this week they've moved 87% of their pregnant sows out of gestation crates to group housing. The company is also on track to eliminate all gestation crates by the end of this year. That's Inside Agriculture. I'm Farm Director Terry Loomis.